John chapter 8 and verse 21 to verse 29. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. And our theme this morning is the great divide. The great divide. These verses speak of the great divide between those who are going where the Lord Jesus goes, even to heaven itself, and those who believe not, who are going where to their own place in hell, where the wrath of God is poured out forever. In other words, the division between the believer and the unbeliever. You remember that Israel entered not into the promised land. They fell in the wilderness because of unbelief. They despised the pleasant land. They despised all that God had promised to them if they trusted in him, and they fell in the wilderness. So it is that amongst men, even amongst them who hear the gospel, there are those who believe and those who believe not, those who go to heaven and those who go to hell. There is a division in this world which becomes an unbridgeable gulf in the world to come. We saw in the newspaper recently, yesterday I think, the longest suspension pedestrian bridge in the world in Switzerland, where I think it's 150 metres long, from one mountain to another, and a great valley below, and yet they are able to walk safely across this bridge. But there will be no bridge in the world to come. It is in this world that God translates from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. But not in the world to come. There is a great gulf, and there is no transference from one place in the eternal world to another. So first then, the great divide will become a fixed gulf. The great divide will become a fixed gulf. Verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. This is similar to chapter 7, verse 33. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. You notice that in chapter 7, Christ says, in a little while, that is, after he has been with them for a period, but now it's getting close. The officers have come to apprehend him, although they don't take him on this occasion. But the time is imminent when he is to be taken and crucified and slain. But once more he reminds them of their danger, that they will die in their sins. This is the great danger, that they will die and forever go to a different place from that which he himself goes. To the dying thief, Christ said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But this will not be the case with those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They will, in the moment of terror, seek Christ in desperation, but not in repentance. They will still bear the guilt as well as the corruption of sin. So that when a sinner dies, if he is a believer, he dies in the Lord and is forever blessed. If he is not a believer, then he goes to hell, and there is no ending of the misery of those who know not God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. So that at death, the tree falls and there it stays. There is only the resurrection of the body to everlasting life or to everlasting damnation still to come in the last day. But as a person leaves this world, they leave either to go to heaven forever, if they are the Lord's, and to go to hell forever, if they are not. And there is no movement one to the other. Luke chapter 16 and verse 26. You remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? How one was in heaven, one was in hell. Luke 16 and verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. There is a great gulf fixed. There is no movement, no transference from heaven and hell in the world to come. The idea of purgatory is not biblical. Besides these two places, the scripture acknowledges none. Heaven or hell. And that's all in the world to come. The time of God's long-suffering comes to an end. Treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The long-suffering of God comes to an end. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? When final judgment falls, sinners will call for mercy, but not find it. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You see, it is the day of the wrath of the Lamb. The Lamb, the only Saviour that ever was, the only Saviour who said, come unto me, while he was in this world, and who sent his ministers from the right hand of God to say in his name, come unto me. It is the wrath of the Lamb, showing the irreversibility, the hopelessness, that the Lamb of God, the Saviour of sinners, should pour out his wrath. You have the same thing in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, the parable of the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them, one from another, as a sheep divides his sheep from the goats. And we read in verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. There is no movement from one to the other. There is a great gulf fixed. And those who are in Christ shall be blessed forevermore, and those who are not shall be judged and punished forevermore. So there is a great gulf, and the great divide shall become a great gulf, fixed and immovable, and there will be no reversal. And this needs to be emphasized, solemn though it is, because very popular was the idea some many decades ago that there was a larger hope, that there was a second chance, but there isn't. And of course, the modern assumption that all is well for everybody is equally without scriptural warrant. There is a great gulf fixed. Secondly, the present divide. The present divide. That eternal separation in judgment would be the outcome of that essential separation already present. And our Lord Jesus Christ says of the unbelieving Jews, verse 23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He warns them against dying in their sins, dying still with the guilt of sin upon them, still with the love of sin in their hearts, because the damned will never be changed. God will never renew the hearts of those who are lost. They will love sin, but be eternally unable to express that hatred of God which is still in their hearts as they receive the just deserts of the guilt of sin. And he says they are from beneath. They are the agents of Satan, and they are in their element in this pleasant, sinful world. Whereas he is from above, from heaven, where there is no sin, where is the holy God of heaven, and he is the holy Son of God, and not in his natural element in this world. When he came into this world, holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners, he endured contradiction of sinners. He was utterly alien to this present sinful world. What must it have been like for the Holy Son of God? How vexed must his soul have been by the sins of men? unless they changed, then it remained the case, whither I go, ye cannot come. So it is with us. If you're not born again of the Spirit, if you've not repented of sin and turned to the Lord, you are in your element in this present evil world. You are not a stranger or a pilgrim on this earth, but this is your home, and all you have is here. You see, this is the present divine. You may profess Christ, but you want to give up as little as possible to maintain that profession. Like Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted the name of Christians, but they didn't want to behave like Christians. If inwardly you wholeheartedly love sin, there is no contradiction. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. The holiness of heaven has no appeal for you. To be with Christ, which is far better, if none of this means anything to you, it is because, like these Jews, you are from beneath. And all that is from beneath is cast on one day into the everlasting fire. One day there will be a manifestation of this division. The sheep and the goats will be divided. There will be a division here in this village, in this congregation, between those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and those who do not. But Christ says, if ye believe not that I am he, it's put in italics, ye shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. What does this I am or I am he mean? Mark chapter 13 verse 6. Mark 13 verse 6. For many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You notice that the word Christ is in italics. It's really literally, many shall come in my name saying, I am, and shall deceive many. And it's the same thought as you have in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Isaiah 43 verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. In other words, I am the one, the only living and true God. So the Lord Jesus Christ claimed to be not only the Messiah, the Anointed, whom God the Father had sealed and sent to save sinners, but the one who came from above, the light of the world, and ultimate truth is in him. And he says, if you believe not that I am, implied is his eternal self-sufficiency as God manifest in the flesh. That he was that everlasting God who appeared at the burning bush and said, I am Jehovah. I am eternal, everlasting. I existed before the world was made. And this is made explicit in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stone to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They took up stones because he said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. You see how Christ is saying that unless you believe and submit to all of my claims, you shall die in your sins. Thirdly, an avoidance of truth. An avoidance of truth. Verse 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, ye cannot come. Verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. They contradict the truth. They avoid the truth. God allows that to take place now. Men contradict the gospel. We are in the period described in the parable of the sower. The time will come when the gospel is put beyond contradiction. But not now. No doubt they felt stung by Jesus' warnings, but they ignored them. They said, will he kill himself? This is a sneering response. Yes, we won't follow him if that's what he's going to do. They were saying, well, if he's going to kill himself, yes, we won't follow him. And then in verse 25 they're saying, well, who art thou? Who are you? Who are we speaking to? And he says, I'm the same as I've been all along and told you. But what we notice here is the amazing ability of men to avoid the truth personally. Christ speaks to them personally and says, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. The Son of God among them, manifest in the flesh, says, I'm talking to you. If you do not believe that I am he, that I am the eternal Son of God, the light of the world, come into the world to save sinners. If you do not believe, you shall die in your sins. And they avoid it. They ignore it. They attack claims of Christ. Perhaps you do the same. Or perhaps you don't attack the claims of Christ, but you avoid it nonetheless. You dodge the fact of your sin. You will discuss ideas, religious ideas. But the assumption behind it all is that all is well. But Christ says, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And you want to assess the gospel and sit in judgment on the claims of Christ. But look at verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. He judges. He assesses. He weighs. He pronounces on you. And he does so in accordance with the will of the Father, whom they professed to love, but they didn't. Christ judges you. Christ sees your sinful refusal, like a rebellious house that we're reading of in Ezekiel, your refusal to visit, to submit to his truth. He sees man's arrogant presumption that man will judge his claims. But the reality is, he will judge ours. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. You've been thinking wrong. You've been thinking as a sinner that somehow you can be accepted with God your own way, when God tells you, no, it's going to be this way or not at all. He made exclusive claims through Jesus Christ. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Your ways are worth nothing. Christ said to the woman of Samaria, you worship you know not what, for salvation is for the Jews. The revelation of God was in Israel, nowhere else. So it's not a question of you sitting in judgment on the gospel. The gospel judges you. Christ judges you. And you're either a believer or not. You're either a rebel against Christ, or by his grace alone, you've been brought to faith in him. So he judges in accordance with the truthfulness of the Father. Fourthly, an inevitable realization. An inevitable realization. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. They would lift up the Son of Man on the cross of Calvary. This is the reference. When you have lifted me up as the wicked instruments of the holy God of heaven, the day would come when they would lift him up. Here is Christ telling them that he knows what they're going to do and do to him, but it didn't stop them. But the day will come also that they will know, if some of them in repentance, but here in view is the last day, that all his claims were true. Revelation 1 and verse 7. Revelation 1 verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, Amen. But it will be too late when everybody knows that the truth is true, that Christ is the only Saviour. But too late. We must know before. We must come to know him in this world. That's why they could not come to the place where he goes to. Because they were, in this world, this is the world where men must come to repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the world to come. That's why the great gulf is fixed. Because it is in this world that God saves sinners, not in the world to come. And so, for the enemies of Christ, there is an awful realization. For the people of God, he will appear without sin a second time unto salvation, to complete their salvation forever. And with what joy will they welcome the coming of the Lord Jesus. But those who are enemies of Christ, those who have died in their sins, they will wail because of him. The horror of it all, the truth which they took no notice of in this world, that same truth will be vindicated forever. The Saviour to whom they would not come now appears in glory and majesty to vindicate all his claims and to take vengeance on them that know not God. For the people of God, we see here great encouragement. Because Christ was not taken against his will. He was not helpless. He says, when you have lifted me up, Christ knew by what death he would die. He knew all. He knew that he would endure such contradiction of sinners. And yet he bore the wrath of God in the place of sinners. There is a warning to those in unbelief that the day of mercy will not last forever. There is an end. There is a great gulf fixed. That God saves sinners in this world through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but don't you believe that God must take the initiative? But it is your responsibility to repent and believe on that Saviour of whom you have heard so much. The fact of God's responsibility, God's initiative, will not take away your sin. You will still be held guilty of unbelief. Unbelief is a sin. And yes, only God can deliver you. But you must cry mightily to God that he will. But you have not been misled. That salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is in Christ. He is the light of the world. You have not been deceived in any way. You have been told that salvation is in Christ and in Christ alone. Give up your thoughts. Your thoughts of rebellion. Otherwise you will die in your sins. In your unbelief. When you leave this world you will have nothing to lay hold of. All that you live for will be taken from you. And you will still have your guilt before God. You shall die in your sins. What a dreadful prospect that is. That sinners should die in their sins, still guilty, still corrupt, forevermore. But believers, we have this encouragement that the Lord Jesus Christ knew what was coming. He was never in a situation where he lost control. I shall be lifted up. The enemies shall die in their sins. But Christ would be lifted up as the Saviour of sinners. The one whom we can safely trust. There will be no discrepancy between any word of Scripture and the glory that is to be revealed. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And where does his Spirit speak but in the Holy Scriptures? And there is no discrepancy between the testimony of Scripture and the glory that is to come. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. All that he has promised, he will surely fulfill. And we will ascribe all glory and honor and praise to him that he delivered us. Otherwise we too would die in our sins. But that he delivered us from our natural love of darkness and love of sin, and that he enabled us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we bless and worship thee, that thou wouldst look upon the children of men, and that thou art the God of salvation, causing us to love that which by nature we do not, to believe upon the name of the Son of God, and to have life everlasting in him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And we pray that those who are still dead in their sins might be brought to life by the power of thy Spirit, convincing them of the truth as it is in Jesus, that they, instead of dying in their sins, should believe on him to life everlasting, who is the light of the world. Look upon us then and bless us. Bless thy word to our hearts, and all for Christ's sake. Amen.